You've chosen a podcast from Low Moon Outsiders. Enjoy.
Once last we broke, the party had just succeeded in fighting the army of ghouls and whatever the slightly larger, more powerful undead was that was sort of leading them. It was evident that he was not controlling them. There's the cable that I was looking for earlier. I love it. That's where we are at. Does everyone know where they were at as far as being damaged? I don't believe we did any healing. I think we literally, like, we defeated them and we stopped, if I'm not mistaken.
We did any healing. I'm down 11.
I'm down
16. I think Herrick was down 7 from wherever you were at previously. And you made your save versus paralysis. You were never paralyzed.
What was that figure?
35.
I'm down bad. 16 and I'm at 34.
That is down a lot, though. Can I get my healing off on everyone freely?
What's that?
Can I get my healing off on everyone freely?
That depends on what happens next. Okay. So where you're at is... Everyone pretty much at the end had pressed in on the graveyard.
Right.
There was the burial mound that was in the center of the graveyard. And the, I'm just going to call him the Ghast, although most of you did not identify what he was because you've never seen one before. He just looked like a more gaunt and kind of mystical. He had some magic that he was doing, version of the others. So we're going to call him a Ghast. But anyway, so then... as you have gathered, you now realize the combat is over. Everything has gotten quiet-ish. But the fog finishes its duty, and you cannot see where you are, except maybe for a few feet. So you realize that there are gravestones all around you. You know the general direction of the mound, and a couple of you were actually at the mound at the end, so it would be easy enough to gather at the mound. Otherwise, you would literally be wandering through the graveyard unless you have the ability to see through soup-thick fog. You can easily call out to each other. It is deathly quiet. Remember, there were flashes of lightning, explosions during the combat, so... You did.
Okay.
Yeah, you got off the roof and came down to the edge of the combat. You actually tried to call shot the guy, I think, once. But it wasn't the call shot that took him out. It was the dragon's breath. I'm not sure what they're for. What's that?
Yeah.
So, let's see. We'll see if anyone is near, any specifically near anyone else enough to see them. Remember, your distance is probably your visibility is about 3 feet. Okay, so
I was in melee with something that someone else was also in melee with. So
right.
I think we're quite close together.
Okay. Do you remember who the other person was for sure?
You were at the mound, right? I made it there. Or it was close to there. At the rear end of the
mound. Yeah, I think it might have been too.
I think I got up there at the last second.
Lucas got there right towards the end as well.
Clun was like more close enough to be able to use the dragon's breath, but not at the actual mound. That would help. Yeah. So the two of you know that the other person was there when you're fighting, and actually up on the mound, like. Because you probably went up there to get him. It's not as bad. Like, the visibility is a little better up high. But when you're standing up there, as you look 100 yards in every direction, you cannot see the ground. You cannot see buildings. You can see maybe, like, a faint spire from a gravestone that rises to be 12, 15 feet high. Or you just see the top of it. And everything is cloaked in this fog.
I would play...
Correct. She's also...
Until she finds not to be pressured.
She's also technically not old enough to force Dragon Fear roles for adventurers. No, they can't.
I don't think it's really, like, particularly a magical effect in First Edition. Isn't it just
no, it's
like,
not really magical.
You're just scared that there's a dragon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Understandable.
Most of them could starting at basically young adult, they could probably swallow a human whole. Full size human.
Aren't they like 30 feet long?
It depends on the dragon.
Oh.
Yeah. So some are more. Some are more, some are less.
I think that we...
Do we have her size when she's... Do you already have it written down?
No, actually, I don't think I do.
You had mentioned it before. How big she was.
Remember what category she was in?
Category?
Like what age she's considered as a dragon?
Adolescent.
Okay. Yeah, so...
Teenage.
That is a horrible Netflix special that will probably be written at some point.
Okay, so head to tail stretched out, you're just under 30 feet. And your tail length is 9 feet. So from your butt to the top of your head is roughly 20 feet.
That is awesome.
Okay. But overall, you're thin because you are adolescent. So when you get to be, if you would ever, which you won't, most likely unless you get seriously aged magically or whatever, if you ever become venerable, your tail length, would be 97 to 106 feet, and your base length would be 133 to 142 feet. So that would put you in the neighborhood of 250 feet long.
For a venerable dragon?
Yeah. So that's pretty huge.
Okay. And a dragon statue at home.
And if someone manages to kill you, they get 8,000 experience plus your fighter stuff. And probably cap, unless they're... Well, of course, if they're high enough level to kill you, then maybe not. Okay. All right. So, again, the two of you are close enough together. So, Sturt finds himself essentially alone in the graveyard in the deep fog. Herrick is alone. You are alone, and you were a dragon at the end of the fight, so you change back when you're ready. And Miller and Kellum... Kellum was not in the fight, as far as you could tell. He was not. He did not engage. He fought ghouls in the village, but he didn't come out to the graveyard. And Miller had come up on the mound from the rear. So I'm going to say probably, but he probably faded back. So the two of you are close enough, but everyone else is essentially solo. But everyone should be within a couple hundred feet of each other, you think?
The goal is we're going to meet at the mound, and we will automatically... locate each other.
Okay, so you're softly calling out in the crowd,
Coco.
Or in the fog, rather.
I'm sure it'll carry.
Coco. I did yelling on myself.
Okay. All right. So everyone can make a wisdom check. Straight up, just face wisdom.
I missed by one.
Oh, I do have an extra D6.
Which for wisdom check is embarrassing.
Is it wisdom or lower?
Yes, equal to or less than your wisdom. Let me go down. Pick one.
I've already borrowed 3 cents from you.
Well, you don't have to keep it, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah,
like use one, then you won't have to dig for to make sure you have everything.
I'm excited.
I made my wisdom check.
What?
Okay. Alright. Everyone made their wisdom check except for the wise guy. Makes perfect sense.
Oh, Aaron.
Both the wise guys failed.
Both the wise guys, yeah. That is hilarious.
I'm not that wise.
I'm pretty wise, but also pretty bad at rolling.
Okay. You begin to realize, like, there are sounds in the fog. The crows or ravens or whatever they are don't really seem to be that big of a deal, you don't think? But then there's the creepy opening of some kind of a... Perhaps.
As soon as I'm done healing on myself, I'm going to do healing on Lucas.
Okay. Did you roll your healing?
Yes.
Okay.
I rolled an average of 2.6 points.
Yeah. And keep putting non-weapon proficiency slots in that, and pretty soon you'll be able to like max out a peasant.
Yeah, just two more dice and I get a first level player
in one roll. Yeah.
Okay. 14 points. Ooh, almost hit three that time.
All right. So you see a faint greenish glow come from the direction of the mound where you were attacking before, and you see that as well.
When you said faint greenish?
Faint greenish glow, yeah.
After sunset?
It is, yeah, it's probably like 3 in the morning.
We were sleeping. Okay, so...
Happened during second watch.
I'll give Chiron... I'm sorry, I'll give Lucas 5 points of land.
At least comfortably while I almost got it.
Yes. Seem to be fairly sound. Real asleep.
The 54, baby.
Should I feel like the summer sleep?
Okay. So you move toward the mound, but after probably 40, 50 steps or whatever, and the deep fog, you're not certain of your direction. Okay. So you whistle back and forth one another, and his whistle sounds, both of you hear the whistle, but it sounds pretty far away. But you can isolate the direction fairly well from that.
Then I do have direction sense from there.
Okay. Begin to move that way. Chiron was already there. Okay. So, Clume arrives at what you think is the base of the mound where you were actually fought, and there's dead ghoul bodies laying all over the place. So you guys beat down just about an army of ghouls, 30 to 40 of them easily. Are you still in dragon form, or did you switch back to your human form? Okay. So I assume you have your daggers in hand. Okay. Are your daggers magical?
Yes, I do have two magic.
Okay. So both of them put off a faint light. It doesn't do a lot of good in the fog, except kind of make the fog around you seem a little yellowish. But you arrive at what you kind of like a huge hulking shadow that could be the mound, and you realize that where you are standing, the ground is sloping down toward it, rather than
like a burial mound.
Yeah, it's a burial mound. You saw it enough before the fog got this bad to know that it was a burial mound. He was standing on top of it when he initially attacked, and surrounded by some guards. But the ground here, surprisingly, is sloping down fairly steeply as it approaches the mound, rather than you'd expect it to kind of be curving up to go up the mound.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to do?
I'll
be
heading down into the mound.
Okay. Walking forward. You feel the ground under your feet has smoothed. So instead of being like ghoul bodies and earth and high grasses and like that, the occasional pebble or clod of dirt, It feels as if you're walking on something more like brick now. And it is a fairly, it's probably about like that. It's a fairly steep incline. Roll a d20 versus dex. Natural 20, okay. All right, so you slip. You don't fall enough to get hurt or anything, but you slip and you're kind of like on your left leg and knee and slide down. You think you probably went a good 15 feet down into the hole. You get this kind of feeling that, you know, you can't see it really because it's still pretty foggy right here. You get this kind of feeling that there is something over your head, like this, like maybe you've entered the mound, or at least the shadow of the mound at this point. The fog is less dense here, and you think if you went forward a little more, it would be to the point where it's not the fog, but the darkness that would be a problem. Which you have your daggers put off candlelight, so.
I'll keep going.
All right. Okay. Meanwhile, you are finding your way back to the mound, and as you were coming back, you did see a second greenish glow faintly in that area, and it kind of also helped you redirect slightly. You see a greenish glow at the mound, and you don't have any trouble finding the mound. However, you realize that you're not alone in the fog, that there's something small moving, smallish, like smaller than a man, moving along amongst the gravestones. Okay. Bow is out. Notch and arrow? Okay. Are you proceeding toward the mound, or?
Proceeding toward the mound.
Yeah, so you're stalking forward quietly, like hunting?
Keeping your ear out.
Okay, roll a d8.
Three.
Okay. So you think you're moving fairly quietly, and then you begin to see a kind of a looming, large, shadowy silhouette ahead of you, and you might hear some faint talking, for example, that might be the party. But at that moment, to your left, you see a smallish, probably 3-4 foot high shadow move along the gravestones. You can make out the shadow enough to know that it's there. It seems to be moving fairly quietly. What do you want to do?
Shoot.
Okay.
Shoot it.
So you're going to try to hit it, is the
yes,
point.
I'm going
okay.
To try to hit it. But if it doesn't hit, it's a warning
shot. Right. Okay. That makes perfect sense. Okay.
So have your conscience ahead of time. Go ahead.
You may roll to hit, sir. You do have a negative because of not actually being able to see your target.
11.
Okay. 11 on the dice.
Yes.
Okay. And then possible cover from the gravestones. Okay. So the arrow seems to be aimed true. Slices through the fog. It disappears. I mean, you can't see it after even just a few feet because the fog is so thick. But as it flies, you think it's a well-aimed shot, but then it rings off of stone, and then you hear a kind of a clattering noise, like as if it hits a couple more times something else. At the same time, roll a d20.
It's five in the direction.
Okay. You hear a gasp, and it kind of has a little bit of a squeak in it. And being the hunter that you are and familiar with noise and so on, you're fairly certain that it was a female voice. So basically your shot, which went near to the target, elicited a... So Chiron and Lucas and Herrick, for that matter, because you're getting close now, all three of you hear the shot, the bow shot, like dung, and then what sound just came out of the speakers, basically, as the bow kind of clatters off of some stones. If you want to hear the voice, you have to make a wisdom check. So.
Yeah, I did.
Herrick injured?
Herrick is probably injured. Yes, he did fight ghouls, and he is just now arriving.
I'm not there.
He's just arriving at the base of the mountain now.
Oh, he's not here, but he heard it.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
So you heard the arrow. In fact, I'm going to give a 5% chance that the arrow comes very near to you. Gray first. Yeah, so no one is struck by the arrow as it careens off into the graveyard. Okay, you can shoot again. You did hear the voice, but yeah, you have every reason to believe now that the target might be sentient, female. It didn't sound particularly guttural, like beast.
And he'll come out. Stern? Yes? All right. Yes. There's something in here. And the frog.
Or someone.
The frog. The frog, yes. Leaping around. And hissing, apparently.
That was a gasp.
Okay. I was going to say, is that the internet gallery?
Okay. All right. So everyone except for Klum hears the exchange of voices. And you see a shadow approaching in the fog. It's more, it's kind of like a dark area of the fog at first, and then the fog kind of parts, and she's right in your face, like, because in order to see each other, you have to be that close. You weren't moving, so she wasn't aware of where you were at. So she basically at about 3-4 feet away. She does not have light. It is a woman, but smallish, like she's probably just over 4 feet tall. And in the dark, without any real light in the fog, that's about all you can make out. She seems to be relatively thin, long hair, could be undead, but she came out when commanded and gasped like a human, so probably not. And she raises her hands, and you see that she has something in her hand that looks like a club or a rod or stick or something. But again, you're seeing her at 4 feet away in the fog. And she did kind of step back when she realized that she had actually encountered you. So she went like that, for you saw her in the dark for a second. Now she's back in the fog and you see her silhouette more than anything. And she says, soft female voice cracks at first. She says, "You must away from here. It's not safe."
I'm well aware.
Can we hear this conversation?
Yes. 20 feet away in the fog, but yes.
Are you okay?
Clearly. I am, and I can lead you to safety, but I can't stay long. Are you coming?
My party's up there.
We're on the mound.
She says,
"What is safety?"
She says, in hushed tones, she says, "It's not safe. Some of our people have gathered in the hills. It's safe there."
The
hills? No. I mean, you're in a valley, and then this graveyard at the back of the valley, and you're standing by a burial mound, which could be considered a hill, but clearly she means away from the village, probably.
We don't have, like, our belongings.
Correct. You have only what you gathered quickly to fight, or if you were on watch, whatever you had on you, which I believe you were on watch, actually.
Our belongings are in the buildings. We need to collect them as well as our horses. We sell horses, right?
You have a wagon, two horses. You have a war horse. Herrick has a horse, and Chiron has a horse. Because you took two horses, or you took a horse. You took your horse and the wagon back, but you left the wagon and rode your horse back to here. So yeah, so you had three horses, two light wars and a medium war, and then you had the wagon. Okay, the heavy war, okay. And then you have the wagon, which is in the village, and the draft horses are in the village. Okay, she says, she she seems to be speaking directly to you, but you can overhear what she says if you listen intently. And she says, "You can get your stuff. I'll meet you at the well on the north side of town, just outside the fence. In 20 minutes or so."
20 minutes? Well, this fog is pretty dense.
I'm not going to stay out here. I don't know what's worse. What's in the fog? Or the creature that masters these beasts that you've slain? She says, "Did you kill them all?"
"As many as we could see."
She looks. She turns visibly in the fog. Can't see her face, but she turns visibly in the fog toward Lucas. Okay. Hold on there for 1 second. Meanwhile, you've gone to the bottom. Stepping kind of out of the last wisps of the fog, you now see him. And it's dark in here. Does your character have a night vision or whatever? I can't remember.
No.
Under your abilities. Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay, I was thinking not as well. Okay, so you have the lights from your daggers, which basically shine pretty clearly out to 3 feet, bright enough you can read by, but not necessarily enough to see down the hallway. Okay, and that's what you have. You have a hallway here. There's a puddle on the floor, water sitting about maybe half an inch deep. The floor is made of stone, and there's mortar in between the stones or something like that, packed earth or something in between the stones. The hallway is 10 feet wide, and it's not sloping down now. It's level here, but the slope down into it was pretty steep. The walls also are made of stones or bricks. They look like bricks, but they're not really neatly shaped, like rough hewn, basically. And then above in the ceiling, you can see some vines and strings and stuff that are kind of hanging down that have grown through, probably from above, that kind of thing, roots, basically. The hallway goes forward at least another 6 or 10 feet. Can't really see much beyond that. Think like flashlight, you got a light, you just don't have anything that shines real far. You can't throw the daggers and have them light for the head of you either, because they only light up when you're holding them. So you have not heard any of the conversation that was taking place outside.
Right, and I don't hear anything down there either?
No. No sounds whatsoever.
If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends.
I'll go back up and start yelling different names. Lucas, Chiron.
Okay, are you yelling on the way up, or are you yelling once you
get
up? Okay. Alright, so you turn back. What would you find? Okay, so you're starting up the slope. It's rough going. The bricks are slippery. There's lichens or moss or something. Like you, at one point in time, you put your hand down and you feel like a fuzzy growth of some kind in between the bricks going up. And so kind of what you're getting the impression of is there's a very thin scum of lichen and water that comes down the ramp, making the ramp pretty slippery. And so you've managed to get up about 5 feet. At which point in time you put your hand down, and just as you put your hand down, you feel something like a web or a thin string that is across the, seem to be stretched tightly across horizontally between you and the floor. And as you put your hand down on it, you hear ahead of you, like back up toward top, and you're in the fog of your mouth, so you've just gotten out of the fog. You hear a metal grating thing that seems to kind of clunk down into the ground ahead of you. And you can only, your imagination goes wild for a second, but afterwards you feel like probably what happened was a portcullis or something like that dropped down in front of you. So it's possible your way is blocked when you get high enough. But you're not there yet. Okay.
I'll hear it and I'll just start yelling for Chiron or
okay.
Whoever I thought was closest, which I think was Lucas.
All right. Back outside in the fog, everyone can roll a d20.
Sorry, I missed for a second. Did Karen have time to do healing on anyone else
over there? So you could be doing healing on Herrick now, bearing in mind that a conversation has been taking place, so you'd be kind of ignoring the conversation at that point.
Yeah.
As I say, I haven't moved to the top of
that
line. So
would Herrick be able to pay attention if he wanted to?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so he comes down off the mound looking for you. Are you comfortable with him doing healing? Okay.
Certainly.
All right. How many rolls?
Oh, I didn't see those two. 19.
Nice. I will take that.
That is much better.
Yes. I saw the bond.
Yeah.
I got two or one.
So. I only took 7 in this combat. I was down 10 before that. So I'd probably just get that 7 back.
Did you work out on 10 when you went to bed?
I was down 10
previous sessions. So actually probably got 2 back before that from healing. So you'd actually be up the 7 you lost plus the 2 from healing. Yeah.
Don't we get more because we're with Chiron?
Didn't get a full night.
Right.
Did I get anything from that?
I don't think so because you were on watch. You were on middle watch. So you didn't get enough sleep before watch, and you haven't gotten the second half yet. And even if you did, it has to be unbroken. So, okay. Or fairly unbroken, anyway. All right, anyway, so roll a D8, if you would.
2.
Okay. So she is turning to leave, or appears to be leaving, and she's already promised to meet you at the well or whatever. And no sooner do you turn, kind of like survey the area because you realize you were distracted a little bit from your surroundings as you were dealing with her, when something that can only be described as a hairy beast, maybe about the size of a wolf or a large dog, comes through the fog towards you, and it basically is bounding at you. You are not surprised, and you have an arrow notch, which means you get a shot before combat. So you may roll to hit, sir. This does not look like a girl.
Doesn't have 2 heads, does it?
It does not. Stuck on the edge. Just push the hammer toward and it'll fall.
2 girls? It's never done any stuff like that.
That's neat. You could have just pushed it and it would have fallen.
16.
Okay, so that's a hit. So roll damage, d6, plus bonuses times 2.
4.
Plus 2 is 6. Any magic or bonuses from the bow or arrows? For the bow?
For the bow, yes.
Okay, so that goes outside the times. Arrows, anything?
Bracers.
Bracers don't give a bonus to damage. You just have to mark them. Okay. So you did 6 times 2 is 12, plus 2 is 14. Okay? So the creature leaps at you, but before it even gets to you, the arrow takes it mid-chest, and it is carried backwards to the right, and you hear a sickly kind of crunch noise as it hits a gravestone and crumples around it. And after a second, silence ensues again.
All right. You didn't shoot her, did you?
I shot at something.
What was that?
Ugly.
Not helpful.
I don't know what it was. It was big and hairy and lunging at me.
We need to move.
Clearly.
Okay. Roll a d20.
Is this the same one from before we rolled a d20?
It could be.
It was a 1.
Okay. Just right before I just did that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. All right. So you hear, kind of sounds like it's coming from at the base of the mound, Klum's voice, and she yells your name. Lucas!
Hello?
Klum?
Lucas!
Okay, he's going to head in that direction.
Okay. All right, so you're going down off the mound, weapon and shield drawn. Dex check. Chiron and Herrick are already down there, but neither of you heard her calling.
Well, we heard him. Or did we
hear him? You heard him, yes.
Did I know that Eric was in that general direction?
He was not in that general direction. I mean, yeah, he was not. He was to the side. When he first came toward the mound, he got misdirected, so he apparently went this way. And then once he found out he had misdirected, he redirected this way, so he was coming at a 90-degree angle to the side rather than toward the front. Not that you could see that, but based on that must have been what happened. Logical extension.
Basically, you heard her voice from a different direction, and he went down to heal me.
Correct. So her voice came from the direction that Astaire was, but Astaire was further away.
Astaire, come this way. We will gather here.
And then you were trying to go up as far as you could.
What?
All right, roll another dex check.
Made it.
Okay. Sure enough, the you advance another probably 8 feet or so up there, and you, daggers in hand, reach up and realize there is a thin barred portcullis. It could be a gate. I mean, if you found a hinge or something, it could be a gate, but there is a thin barred wall that was not here before. You can put your hand through. There's a gap about that big between each bar, but it's not open. There's no passable way. There's no way to pass it.
It started dipping down, and then there was something over your head. You walked into the side of the burial mound.
Okay.
I didn't mean to fall that far.
Anyway. No one has ever accused Plume of being a coward, so this is not a problem. Okay. All right. So you come down off the mound, are heading toward the general area of the voice. Eric and Chiron are headed around that way as well. So roll a d20 to navigate in the fog. I'll do so for Chiron.
15.
Which is your wisdom. Okay. So the two of you can navigate in the fog around to the front, but it does take a little longer as you're picking your way through gravestones and cool parts and not getting off track. Okay. Is Astaire moving there as well? Okay. Roll a d20. You're navigating through the fog. Okay. So you manage to move toward the burial mound, arrow still notched. Okay. As you're moving towards the burial mound, you come to a point which you kind of see the mound looming in the fog ahead of you. It's just like a kind of a slightly darker gray area, basically. And so you realize you are approaching the mound. While you're feeling the portcullis, whatever, were you still calling out periodically to let them know where you're at? Okay. So you hear her voice still calling out. And her voice also helps you and Chiron kind of redirect yourself to there. You slide down the mound. You're slightly to the side at first. And then you're moving in the direction of her voice. Okay. What's that?
I said, I imagine that's fairly loud.
It's a little crunchy. It doesn't sound like this, though. Not quite that bad. Had you failed your dex check, however, I probably would have wanted to use that, but no. Okay. That would have been pretty funny. Alright. So while they are trying to get to you, you're standing at the portcullis. You realize that the floor below your feet is fairly slippery. So if you strain without like holding on to something or holding on to portcullis, for example, you could slip. You also realize you're fairly sure that it came down. Like when you heard it, it sounded like it was coming from above down. So theoretically, you could try to lift it. And if you could lift it enough to slip under, that would be one thing, although the floor is pretty thoroughly sloped. So you'd have to hold it up, slip under it uphill, and let it come down behind you. Not impossible, but not convenient.
I won't try. I'll wait until Lucas and Lucas get
there. Okay. All right. And so actually it's going to be... between the two of you. So Asturd and Lucas find each other at the front of the burial mound. Okay.
Sliding?
Slide
tackle me?
No, it's just you just walk together from two different angles. So basically, you go around a gravestone. He goes. He's coming around the hill. There's actually a low wall there that's like it comes down on an angle, and you have to go around it to get to the opening. And as you go around it, you come around the gravestone, and the two of you are like this, 2 feet apart. In fact, roll a d8. Okay. So you are surprised to see him, but not in the way of like to react or do anything foolish. Okay, so you know, because you just came around that little wall, that you have to be close to the front of the mound, and you can hear her calling. So she sounds like she can't be more than like 15, 20 feet away, but she does sounds like she's coming from below ground level. So, okay.
Moving that way.
All right, roll a dex check at half.
Made it with a 2.
Okay. So you move toward her voice, step off of the grass onto the slippery stone, and immediately begin to slip. And you would theoretically slide all the way down, but you catch yourself just a couple feet onto the stone. You know, it feels like your foot is in like a little bit of a lip between two bricks, and your shield arm is on the wall. So you slipped maybe just a few feet, like 2 or 3 feet down. But it's about a 45-degree slope. And it feels like it's wet, like water is kind of flowing out. But remember, you are in the fog. You cannot see any of it.
Stern.
Yes.
You have a rope.
I do. Okay, so
ridiculous.
I'm going to
have Stern is rope friend.
Quickly fetch a rope and then have him stand at the top and like hold the rope so that I slip.
Okay. Okay. Both of you roll for surprise. So surprise is a D8 for you.
I am surprised. 8.
Okay. All right. So he is explaining to you what he would like you to do when two of the dog slash wolf type creatures come toward the two of you. Because you have an arrow notch to get one shot before combat. The two of you are not far. No, they're bounding to attack. They stalked to close enough without making any noise, and then they're attacking. So basically you've got... The truth is, if one gets on you, you won't be able to shoot after that. So you're going to get this shot for sure.
Unless they're
both. Or they smell
from a distance,
probably still a hit. Now, what level are you again? So that's 15 back 0, 6, that'd be AC 9, plus 2, AC 7, dex bonus? Plus 1?
Plus 1.
So AC 6. 2 for the bow, AC 4, that's it. Okay.
I'm more blind than everybody because I'm ready.
You can't help it. Big numbers.
Okay, 1 plus 2 for point blank range. Times 2, so that's 3. Times 2 is 6. Plus 2 for the bow is 8. Yep. So your minimum damage with that bow in point blank range is 8. We just found that out. And if you use magical arrows, for every point of the magical arrow, it goes up by 2 because the arrows go inside the times. So. So plus 1 arrow, your minimum damage is 10. It's pretty sound. It's pretty solid. Okay. Anyway, so two creatures bound toward the two of you, actually. And he shoots one of them. And mind you, this happened just as you were, like, catching your balance and whatever. So it really is not a big surprise that you were surprised or taken aback. What was your roll?
2. 2.
And what is your dex bonus, if any?
Plus 1.
So that makes it 3. Okay. So it's only one segment of surprise. Basically it's just enough for you to get your balance, get turned around, and figure out what's going on. And you hear the sounds taking place. So from your perspective, it sounds like they're about 20 feet away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, further than you would expect. Well, she slipped down the slope. So.
It does beg the question why I didn't hit it on my way down, though. Unless it was... I melted wire by putting my hands on the ground.
Yeah.
That must have been after I had already collected myself from falling.
Okay. Yeah, you just missed it on the way down. I was rolling, so. Tripwires are like that if you're picking your feet up, especially if you're on a 45-degree slope. So. Okay. Anyway, so you realize they're having trouble at the entrance, basically, and you hear him fire his bow, and the arrow obviously strikes home. The creature does not cry out or give any expellation of breath when the arrow hits. Okay. And the other one is going to be 1 to 3, 4 to 6. It is on his turn. Okay, so basically it's on you, it's like on your bow, on your shoulder, and it does gouge your like left side of your chest a little bit, and you take 2 points of damage.
Oh, that's it?
It's more like a bruise than anything, probably, partially. Okay, and you need to make dex check at half. Made it. Okay. So what happens is the creature bounding on you, it probably weighs a good 40 pounds, and it kind of, and you basically kept it off you. You can smell like something really foul. Like you remember one time when you were younger, kid, whatever, and you cleaned up ale, or it might have been mixed ale and vomit, whatever, but that had begun to mold in between some of the floorboards in the inn, and this smells like that. And his like jaw snaps just short of your face, but it doesn't get you. Well, the only thing that actually hit you was the one on your rib. But what happens is you step back, and as you step back, you step onto the slope, and you slip the first several feet, so that you're in the you're inside the opening on the stone, and you're on the opposite wall from him. So that means you guys are probably 8 feet apart. So you're on the wall where you stopped, and you're no longer surprised. You're on the wall on the other side. You can't see him, but you can hear the snarling, snapping of the beast. If it's youth group, it's moved to tomorrow at 6:30. Oh, never mind then. Okay. How long have it's been since I personally had a pizza delivered? Like years.
Yeah, I rarely get pizza delivered to my place. Because
the
loader.
Okay. Everything okay, Aaron? You sorting out problems?
Yes, you know, if you've been on my laptop charger in my car. I have never personally ordered pizza for me.
That's crazy.
I don't like pizza.
Good point. Alright, anyway. We will, so the creature is on you, so you cannot use your bow to attack, because it's inside the 6 foot minimum reach. He is 8 feet away, and you can't see him, and he can't see you. Anyway, I'm going to add epic music to our eerie fog. Epic combat music.
We're rolling initiative.
Yes, we're rolling initiative. You can. Because you could directly interact with what's going on.
Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095.
You can't see them. You know there's fighting going on.
Lucas, help! Help Lucas!
Okay, help. And Herrick has rolled, and Chiron.
Lucas,
and the creature. Okay. This is not a surprise segment. We finished it. It's pretty strong.
It said it's 40 pounds.
Yeah, it feels like a wolf to you, but it stinks like death. Okay. I mean, that's what you're basically doing.
Three.
Try to throw it off.
Four.
I mean,
you ever been attacked by an angry child?
I've been affected by it. Just take the
angry
child
and throw them off. No, like it's angry. That is a possibility in your initiative. Okay? So we are now at missile fire, which I don't believe we have any. Unless Herrick has a spell. No. Okay, then we'll go to melee 9.
I can't even see anything yet.
Miscellaneous or defensive.
Oh, that's a block.
Yep, that happens. Melee 9, melee 8, melee 7, melee 6. Yep, 6 it is. You have 6 as well? Okay, so you are right in the face of the creature, so melee 6. What do you do? As far as the mound, a lot. Maybe 3 feet, 4 feet. Yes. Okay, so you're gonna try to throw him down the slope. I remember that's where her voice was coming from. No, he's directly across here from you. Same way.
Think there's a hallway. There's a hallway. I'm going this side. I'm over here. It's gonna slip down those 2 feet. Only like 2 feet. Only as far as you can.
Yeah. Both slipped about the same amount before you caught yourself.
Like, you slip down further, and then I can just throw him at you.
Throw him at me, so that he takes me the rest of the way down.
And then you just conk him with your big conking club.
All right, anyway, so conking club, maybe not the greatest idea at this moment. So you can throw him toward Lucas. You can throw him back outside. You can throw him down toward her.
I'm throwing him toward Lucas, hoping he can finish him off.
Towards the wood grinder.
Okay, so yes. So you're going to try to throw him off of you.
Yes.
Okay? So you need to roll percentile dice. You're looking for a high number. Didn't have it. Do you just need any laptop or you need your specific?
I'm
not. Okay. Because I have access to a Windows laptop and a Chrome book, so. But.
Completely gathered.
Hey,
I'm gathered. Lucas on the way.
Okay, so you're going to
82.
82 is good. Okay. I'm going to find my chart.
I'll hold it out like this. Just get it close. I can move it.
This is the best teamwork we've ever had. Yeah. I'm throwing at you, and you've been like softball.
I opened almost exactly the right page.
Good form.
Form over, or contact over.
Okay, so while you are trying to throw him off of you, he is trying to slash at you with his claws. And fortunately for you, not very effectively.
What?
So you do manage to basically throw him off of you. It's going to fly 4 plus d6 feet before it comes to Earth or to the slope. So roll a d6.
I'm strong.
Oh, I'm 18.
Oh, I was
going to
say,
let's do
a wolf. You
could
throw a wolf and feet.
You said d6. Yep. 4 plus d6. 4 plus. Okay, so you're going to throw it about halfway to him, okay, at which point in time he first touches ground, and he's not going to spin and be able to, like, attack Lucas or anything like that. So as he hits the ground, you can leave the safe perch of your wall and attack him if you wish. You are aware of where he's at, and he did tell you it was coming, so. All right, roll it.
18.
Okay, and roll damage.
Do I have to?
Yes.
Because I don't
remember. Base is usually d6. Or d6 plus 1.
Well, I rolled 5, which is
is a minimum of 12, plus the magic of the Louis Black Star events. I think we know that it's magical. I don't know how magical it is.
Okay.
That is my second combat. Plus, I think that's it. 7. Or 12 plus magic.
Okay.
Crack.
Okay. You batter. Yeah, I don't have a mace critical on that screen. Anyway, you batter him harshly. He does not cry out in pain. Oh, look. It's my gear.
Battered him harshly.
And I might have one. Let's see. No. This one might work. That's pretty good. Okay. His body does roll down the slope afterwards, and you need to make a dex check at half. D20 equal to or less than half your dex.
10.
Okay. So you have lost, in throwing him off of you toward Lucas, you lost your purchase where you were like standing in a little groove or whatever, and you basically slip and slide down as far as the portcullis. And you will take 1 point of damage. Just the one time, the first attack. He tried when you were trying to throw him off, and he didn't get you. As you are right at the portcullis, you realize that basically a Sturd goes, he slams his face and upper body into the portcullis, and so he is right in front of you. So you see, a Sturd sees Clune, but there is a thin portcullis between you. So the gaps are about 5 inches, the bars are maybe 3/8 of an inch, and from what you tell, it goes as far to the right and left as you can see. Could be a gate, but there does not appear to be a way to open it. It looks like it's a portcullis.
Sure.
Yes.
You're all right.
Obviously, you're there.
Okay.
There were no other creatures, just that one.
Well, but I just can see the
solid. There's a gate down here with us. It's
more like the silhouette of the activity.
Like thing?
Because it is very foggy here.
I don't know. I hit a wire and it sounded like it fell.
I mean, you can see the one that.
Yes.
Well, we can't really see it.
Yes.
If it's not on the ground. If it's down on the ground, not.
Right.
Yes.
I gotta stop the counting music.
I'm gonna try and lift. Maybe we should slide down here and help.
I'm afraid if I do so, we may not be able to make it out.
Anybody got a rope?
Okay. At this point in time, you have entered the mouth of the cave, or the mouth of the, I guess it's a cave, it's the walkway down in the mound, and Chiron is at the top as well. So you guys really don't have to yell to talk to each other because it's like 5 feet, whatever. But everyone needs to make the same throw versus spell. Dex bonus does not apply.
And you want more than
equal to or higher than that.
I was going to ask if it was fire or lightning, but it doesn't matter. A 2 fails.
Yes.
I think I made it. Oh, yeah, because I get a +2, so I got a 13.
Yep.
Rolled
18.
Yep.
Wisdom.
No.
Spell is on the right,
Hand side.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Your spell is saved as a 14.
There it is.
Okay. Yep. So if you made your save, then the effect takes place, but it doesn't adversely affect you. If you failed your save, basically you wind up prone just a few feet back from where you were. So you basically fell down. Okay. And what happens is from the burial mound, so from behind you, there comes a rush of air. It is definitely supernatural in nature. It is not a wind. It is a forceful rush of air. And the fog that is filling the top third of the tunnel, about third of the tunnel, is pushed out.
Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor told from a certain point of view.
And so Astrid and Clum, which you're on one side of the portcullis, she's on the other, can see, but it's dark. So you would need light to see well. But she has her daggers out, so there's candlelight two candles worth. So basically you can see 3-4 feet clearly. You can see her face, like the fog rushes out. Okay? And it was a strong wind that came from below. Chiron also was not knocked down. Okay? So as the wind is gone, you're on one side of portcullis, you're on the other. At the top, you're just inside the opening standing on the slope. And it's slippery. You can feel like slime or moss or something between the cracks and water. Okay, so you step up out on solid ground. All right, and you're right there. Chiron's right there. And yep, and Herrick is on his butt. So Chiron extends his hand to lift you up. Check me one thing real quick. Okay, roll for surprise.
Surprised.
Okay, Chiron is. So as he puts his sword in his shield hand, reaches out to lift you up, and at that moment, one shadowy wolf-like creature attacks. Okay.
Jab my spear.
Chiron. That's his spirit sheet, right? What is his dex? 15. That's one. Okay, so. Okay, he is surprised for 2 segments. Okay. So you are slightly distant. So if they need the help, you will not be able to intercede until the second surprise segment. The first, you're not surprised per se, but you won't be able to get there until the second surprise segment. All right. And you may roll initiative. The creature will be 1 to 4 on you, 5 to 6 on Chiron. It is on you. All right. You have initiative.
Is it kind of rushing at us?
Bounding out of the fog. Basically, they come. Yeah. They appear to come flying out of the fog. They get within about 5 feet.
I will raise my spear and do.
Okay.
Jump.
You turn and set your spear. He is coming at you. You do have reach, so you will strike him before he strikes you.
Potentially, anyways. 14 is 2, AC 2.
That hits. And damage will be doubled.
You roll a 19 and hit AC 2.
It's 8, 13.
Okay.
4, 8.
Okay. Checking to see if any of his attacks can land despite the fact that he is impaled. It's not a boar spear, correct? Okay, so one can, and he will miss. All right, so basically, you penetrate the spear through by probably 20 inches, and he is almost certainly dead, if he wasn't already. But he has stopped moving, let's put it that way. He does not successfully attack you at all. He does not land any blows.
I'm going to disengage him from my spear.
Okay, so basically stand up, push him off. And Chiron, though he was surprised, not able to fight, he is able to still pull you to your feet to help you up. Okay. All right. Meanwhile, you had advanced some into the fog toward the sounds of fighting, as you naturally would do. But not much. It's like 5 or 8 feet or whatever. Okay. Down.
All right. Yeah, some sort of shaggy wolf dog thing.
They seem to be prevalent. We need to move. Did you get the gate open?
I am desperately trying to lift.
Okay. So the wind all cleared out. 12 seconds have passed. You're trying to find footing on a 45-degree slope, or maybe hold onto the wall to try to lift this thing, when you see a dim light come up below in the darkness. It's like not coming from her. Your sword, behind her. And both of you look, obviously, and you see what appears to be a single man. He's wearing long gray robes that go all the way to the floor. He has a gaunt, pale face. He does have a sword in his left hand, and he is standing at the far bottom of the slope, so he's a good 20 feet away. His hair is salt and pepper black, stretched back into a ponytail, and his face just looks really thin and pale looking. It is the sword that is glowing with candlelight. Okay? Because he's 20 feet away and he's... No. Because he's 20 feet away and he's not overtly attacking yet, neither of you are surprised, but both of you are obviously concerned.
Culture.
Okay? So you can...
Can I shoot through the...
Like, step back, brace your foot on the bottom of the portcullis, and take an aim through the slots in the portcullis and try to call shot him. Yes, you can try to do that if you wish. Okay.
Clune will look at the start and say, get this gate open, and then I'll turn to the guy and I'll just yell, who are you?
How long is it going to take him to get the gate open?
I mean, it, 30 seconds, probably, longer. Maybe a minute.
Got it.
So, if it did come down from above, which is what you suspect, it will take you 30 seconds, maybe a minute, to lift it high enough for her to come out.
All
right. Okay, so we'll roll initiative then at that point. So we'll roll d6. Roll d6.
Mm-hmm. Have I heard them talking?
No. There was no loud talking at all, and they're down the slope 30 feet away from her.
Oh, he was like 20 feet from us,
isn't he? Yeah, but there's no sound inside the tomb. So, I mean, you could yell if you want, but even if you did yell in his direction, it's probably not going to go up and out very much. But if you turn your head and yell up the slope, they would definitely hear you.
Oh. Well, if he's not going to hear it, then...
Yeah. Well, he's going to hear it, but I'm talking about Lucas.
No, I don't care if he's hearing it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway, so there's... No missile fire, as far as I'm aware. You're called shotting, you said? No, you're not. You're lifting the portcullis, and she's going to bend off the...
It's going to take 30 seconds. I'll rather try to lift it.
Yeah. All right. So you're going
to...
So you can hold your bow and try to lift it, but it will reduce your chances slightly. It's not going to be a ton, but it will be slightly. If you sling your bow, that'll take a good 30 seconds to make sure it's slung and out of the way and get your footing back and then try to lift it. Okay. Plus, if you fail to lift it once, then you could go to shooting. So, whereas otherwise, you have to take it back out, blah, blah, blah. So, okay. All right. So, you spoke to him at the end of last round. At the beginning of this round, he says, I am Aklis, my queen. Okay. And he walks forward, but as he walks forward, you do not see his feet move. He's more like kind of gliding up the slope. He also is, as he's coming up the slope, he is vertical and doesn't seem to have any struggle coming up the slope. Like, he doesn't look like he's slipping. Okay. Melee 9. Melee 8. Melee 7. Melee 6. Okay, we're flying this round. We are. He's advancing. He's getting closer. Melee 5. Okay. So remember that get this picture in your head. I'll get music in a second here, but get this picture in your head. You can only see clearly 3 to 4 feet, because that's what your dagger light is. So you're inside a candle's light, okay? He also has a candle light, and you could see him, but you know there's darkness between you and him. Mm-hmm. And then as he gets closer, you can see him even better. What initiative we have? 5? And you're going in 5?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in initiative 5, he is probably only like 8 feet away. Okay? But you also cannot see the walls on either side. You cannot see the ceiling now. I mean, you can just make out like the strings that are hanging down, the vines and roots and whatever, but you can't see the ceiling itself. I just realized it is a, this is a very dark, eerie moment, is my point. Okay. And kind of scary. Okay.
Lucas help!
I have a new battle cry. It is twang twang. Lucas help! Twang twang. Okay. All right. What are you doing in five?
I'm assuming it's still like 20 feet down, right?
It is 20 feet down to the bottom. He is 8 feet or so away. So he's kind of up right here. So like if you wanted to get past him, slide, you could probably do that pretty easily. Like go to the right or left and get low and slide past him. He'd surely probably attack you if you went by, but...
I just think you want to stay by the gate.
Yeah, so... You could probably, of course, he's going to be trying to lift the portcullis. Otherwise, you could probably, like, use the portcullis somehow to balance yourself. Because
yeah,
once
well,
you start swinging
now,
the daggers.
I have one hand on it with the dagger. Like, the dagger is clutching
the other. Okay, yeah, so that's going to keep your balance. But if you would attack with both your daggers, then you wouldn't be holding on to anything. Also, if you push the portcullis up, there's not going to be anything to hold on to. So, there's that. You have purchase on one foot, like you feel you're standing on a like a rounded off stone that, you know, if you start swinging, it'll be a problem, but standing here, you're not feeling like you're going to fall down.
I'll ask the sword if they have any rope to help hold us up and get the gate open, and then I'll just keep bracing myself.
I have some
okay.
rope.
Do you have the rope, or does Lucas have the rope at the top?
I have the rope. We got attacked before we can get the rope out.
Does he have any rope?
No. Not that I know of.
Now it's
okay.
Time for prayer.
Lucas, help!
Okay. Initiative
five. I hope this initiative counts. I haven't rolled initiative.
No, he doesn't even... Yeah, until you started yelling help, he didn't even know anything was going on. So he'll be coming.
Maybe.
Top of the round.
Two strong people to hook the
I must stand
out.
Here for 30 seconds.
You are interacting with Asturd and with Herrick and Chiron, and the three of you are approaching the opening, and then you hear, Lucas, help! Lucas, help! But he sounds pretty far away. Like, not just inside the cave. Last you knew, he was just inside the cave. So now he sounds 20 feet away or more.
Well,
okay. So we go to initiative 4. You're holding. Okay. In 4, he has approached you to the point where the two lights have combined, maybe like 6 feet away, and he raises his sword in kind of in defense. It sounds like he's blocking, but he is reaching for you with his hand. And you can see that he has long, gnarly fingers, and a chill goes down your spine as he reaches out to touch you. Okay? What was your initiative?
3.
Okay, so we will go to 3. You're heaving to actually see if you can do it. Roll Ben Barr's lift gates. So you want percentile dice. It does appear to be somewhat lighter than normal.
8.
Okay. So it comes up, and it's definitely a portcullis, there's no doubt about it. It comes up, you've got it maybe 2 feet up off the slope. It's probably enough for like her to crawl through, but she would be crawling through upwards on a 45 degree slope, so it would be tricky.
Can I like pull myself down and slide tackle?
Slide under? Probably not, because as soon as you let go of the portcullis, it's going to go down, which means it probably would land on your upper body. It's only like this far up. So if you get it higher, you could do it, but so far you've only managed to get it up a couple feet. And with it up, you can't brace on it. So you're standing on that slippery 45 degree slope, lifting it, and you got it a couple feet up. She's not big. she could probably make it out.
If she had the longbow.
Yeah, she's going to have to... Like, if you can hold it up for sure, and she can use it to pull on, then she could probably slip out. Right now, you're holding action. So he is reaching for you. He is going to attempt to touch you. Oh, hold on one second. Okay. Okay. So, from the shadows to the right comes something that is about two-thirds the size of a man. Probably was lurking there previously. And things happen very quickly, and at first you're not exactly sure, because when you twist away from the blow, like, to, and try not to get hurt, basically, so you dodge, at which point you don't actually see what happened. But you hear a kind of a male voice say, "Get out!" And it was not the old man's voice, it was another voice. Okay? You turn back, and as you turn back, you see the old man whose hand had literally been like inches from touching you. He is kind of in the, I mean, you're seeing him outside your light, okay? But you see from his light, he's in a tangled mess with something that is roughly two-thirds the size of a man. You may roll a d20. You are not sure, like you don't recognize the tussle. Roll a d20, Ricky, to see if you do. Okay, so I'll pass you a note. Hold on a second. So with him not in your face now, and a stirred holding the gate up a couple feet off the ground, the chance of getting out is very real. And you were holding your action.
Can I start to crawl here?
Mm-hmm. Roll a dex check.
Fine.
Okay, so you lift it up. You've got it maybe 3 feet off the ground as that happens, and she slips under the portcullis. But as she slips under the portcullis, your feet slip, and it goes all the way back down into the floor, but she is outside. So she doesn't get hit by it, but it is all the way back down into the floor.
Can I see you?
No, they, darkness. The sword light went out, so it is dark. That was an option. Okay. So at this point in time, those who are outside have heard something is going on down below. What are you doing? Chiron does not have rope, I don't think.
Probably I have rope, but I have no idea that we need it.
Yeah, so he probably would. So yeah, he does have rope, but it's probably back in the ring. So.
Yep. So.
Okay.
Somebody down there needs help.
All right. So is Lucas saying anything as he charges down the ramp? Okay. All right. So Lucas jumps into the darkness. Basically, he does have a glowing sword, but he jumps into the darkness. Go ahead. Oh, is it magical? What, plus? We don't know. Yeah, so it's probably glowing. Okay, so he has a glowing mace. Right, so both of you are now outside portcullis, which means not engaged in anything that's going on with the old man on the other side. And you hear sounds of someone coming abruptly down the ramp. Arden, roll a dex check at half to control your descent.
Natural 1.
Okay, holding on.
Hot on the dice. So I go in combat.
Okay. All right. Lucas basically slides into the portcullis, but he is far enough left of you that he does not hit you or Clune. The two of you are basically in the, almost in the same spot. You can see each other. You're so close. Okay. But you are through the portcullis. And then he hits the portcullis fairly forcefully, but doesn't make any damage. All right, so the three of you are together. You know Lucas, Clune, and Asperger there.
What's happening?
Okay, so you grab a hold of the gate and attempt to lift it.
Miller! Can I see?
So yes, you can see down the tunnel as far as the flat of the slope, and then probably another 20 feet or so, because the ceiling comes down, you see vines and roots and stuff hanging, but you can only see about another 20 feet because at that point the ceiling cuts it off, and you do not see either one of them.
Okay, I'm going to help them open
it. Hold on a second, though. You do see the sword laying on the ground.
The sword?
Yes, you see a sword, long sword, laying on the ground. It's about 15 feet past where the floor levels out.
Which is about 20 feet down.
So 20 feet down, the floor levels out, then another 15 feet, you can see the sword, and then you can only see maybe 5 or 8 feet past that, because at that point the ceiling blocks your view.
Okay. So if he's struggling with the portcullis,
Yeah, he's definitely struggling. He's sailing on a 45-degree slippery slope with nothing to hold him as soon as he starts pulling, and he has a bow in his hand. So he's definitely struggling.
I'll stow the mace.
Okay.
Clune will stand behind him and so lift the dagger and wait for him to open it for me to lift that, but also explain what we saw, what I saw to the
inside. Okay. All right. So she describes the old man. You're thinking lich or vampire.
I'll say the name too, but.
Yes. Aquas.
I'm lifting
the old dude with the sword, you know, the wizard.
Alright, so the two of you can roll Ben Barr's lift gates.
I roll a 42 under 45. Okay. Oh, you rolled a 19 under 20.
So initially, it strikes you as if the portcullis is lighter than average. It seems like the bars are thinner, that kind of thing. However, between the two of you and with your best effort and with your feet slipping on the slope, you only managed to raise it about 18 inches.
Come on, Lucas.
I mean, your foot slipped, and so it didn't before, but it did this time. But you've got it held up 18 inches.
Is it that far enough for me to go slide under?
Probably not. I mean, maybe
you're
just.
You're the one who wants to go back and save Miller. What
I do. You
do?
Were just trapped with the guy.
Miller's in there.
Queen. Which means there has to be
he's
another.
He didn't attack me, though.
From down the hallway,
you
hear what sounds like Miller's final cry.
I would rather you...
Shut up and lift!
I would rather you go back and tell them in the poop problem. Chiron.
If I can't get under there right now, then I'm continuing to lift.
Little Ben Barr's lift gates.
32.
They have been a full minute since Lucas went down the ramp.
Yeah, so
93.
I was approaching the entrance to go down in, having no knowledge of what it's like. I'm assuming steps, but what do I see when I...
No, I mean, you definitely know it's a slope now because he went ahead of you.
Okay.
You can see it because of the fog.
Gotcha.
But you definitely know. I mean, you heard him sliding down a ramp.
Okay, so...
Which he walks into the...
I've got rope. I'll try and break something here if you're going to go down. Otherwise, I don't know how they're going to get back up.
I think we should tie it off. Definitely. Even if we can walk back up, the rope will make things a lot faster. And I don't know what's going on down there, but leaving a good retreat option is always a good idea.
So I say, well, go if you need to, but... Ooh, dogs.
Okay.
I was on watch. I don't just carry my rope.
Okay. So what do we roll? When Bars Lift Gates rolls, what were they?
I rolled a
30. Okay. So you both lift, and you manage to lift it. It's 5 feet up, or I mean, your shoulder height. So anyone could theoretically walk under it. Okay.
How hard does the thing stand like that?
I mean, it feels like it'll come down under its own weight. It's probably in a channel, stone channel on the sides. It doesn't have a counterweight, so once it goes down, there's nothing to lift it back up. So even windows, like, they have old windows have counterweights in the walls.
There could be something up there to hold it in place.
That's true.
If you lift it up.
Yep, it could be like a ledge or a latch, so it could be reloaded. But the ceiling is the better part of 10 feet up, so.
Yeah.
Unless you have like a pole or something to push up into place.
I'm just gonna slide down for this.
Okay. So it is evident that the two of them are going to go in there.
Down there under.
Okay. All right.
She's already gone.
All right. So so you're sliding down the slope then?
Yeah. I know what we so.
Okay. Make a dex check. Controlled descent.
Dex is 16.
Right. So you slide to the level portion of the floor below, which means both of you can see. Both of you can see her light at the bottom of the slope. Right. The rope is tied off, slung down the slope.
Yep.
Chiron says, now that the rope is tied off, are you okay here?
I mean, I'll do my best. I can follow you down if nothing else.
I hate to leave you, but...
Go. If I need to, I'll just jump down and after you.
All right, I'm going down. Okay. He basically takes the rope in the crock of his arm and walks down the slope.
Sorry, as he goes in, like under my breath, that was the last I ever saw him.
It's a horrible prophecy. Okay.
Because you died at the end of the game.
Oh, nice. Okay. I guess I get to have to turn this part off now and go to something more.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I can get out of here.
Turn into grass.
Seagull, fly away.
It's nice to have, as Chiron is famous for saying, a secured escape route is a good idea. Okay.
Alright. Check out Amal Dan Inc. for incredible opportunities to support the ministry.
Alright. So at the bottom of the slope, Plume sees, and they have not caught up to you yet at that point, you see a hallway that goes straight ahead.
Right.
It's dark, and you just have 3 or 4 foot of light, but you can kind of see ambient light, so you can tell it at least goes 10, 20 feet. And you do see the sword laying on the floor, which is the sword that the guy had.
I thought it was on the slope.
No,
because
dude.
Lucas
saw it looking down. He has that provision.
You can see a lot
further
in the dark.
Oh, I saw the bottom of the slope. Okay.
Yep.
I'm not that
one. Okay. And so you can advance at least as far as the sword. You don't think the sword was giving off much more light than your daggers. It was about the same, so we'll have to...
Yeah, I'll just walk to the sword, and then I'll wait for them.
But the further you go, the further you can see, of course.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.